Let's turn to God's word in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And we'll be reading from verse 19. We'll be reading from verse 19 of the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, verse 19. And we'll be reading just a couple of verses, I think to verses 24. It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who shows genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interest, not for those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proven himself. I want you to mark that. Timothy has proven himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Let us pray. Mighty Lord, we thank you this morning. And even as we sit down, we pray that you would quieten our hearts from any other voice or any other distraction. The distraction that are so prevalent in our society today. Lord, we may be able to hear from you, that you may speak to us in a small, still voice this morning, that we may be edified by the hearing of your word. Lord, you may be glorified, even as your words enter our hearts and build faith, that we can be able to respond to you in a way that you direct. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to your care. And to your leading in the next few minutes as we listen to your word. For this I pray in Jesus' holy name. We live in a country where, particularly those people who have gone to school and have got papers, it's very hard to find jobs nowadays. We have so many unemployed youths, a number of graduates who are not employed, people who have been through college who are not employed. Even in our midst right here, I'm sure we have a number of people who are not employed. And because of the unemployment in this country, we have seen people go to other countries like Saudi Arabia or even in the neighboring countries trying to pursue job opportunities. And every now and then, there is a fake advert about jobs. I don't know whether you have ever seen a scam like KCB is recruiting, 400 people, and a lot of people send in application only to find out that it's a scam. Or UN is recruiting, thousands of people, or there are these overseas job, and then you realize it's a scam, that there are so many scams that are going on, particularly through social media today in our society, and because people are looking for job. Today I want to talk about a different opportunity that's available for us as Christian, because I know that we are looking for jobs, but I want to tell you, heaven has put out an advertisement. Heaven is looking for people who are going to be workers. The Bible tells us, as we have been reminded even in that song, Days of Elijah, that we are the laborers in God's vineyard, that we ought to be the laborers in God's vineyard. And we are reminded that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There is one employer who has no enough laborers, imagine. There is one employer who is asking, where are we going to find more? Because we want to recruit more and more and more. And he is opening up opportunities for anybody who is willing to come in and be able to serve. As Paul was writing this letter to the Philippians, he's in jail at Rome, and he doesn't know what the outcome will be. He even doesn't know whether he'll be able to visit the church of Philippians. But the church has sent in one of their colleagues called Epaphroditus to come and be with Paul. And Paul now wants to send Epaphroditus back to the church, but he also wants to send Timothy. In chapter number 2, he talks about how we need to be humble, particularly in this particular world. Because Because the world that we are living in is crooked. If you go back a couple of verses with me in verse 15 of the same chapter, let's begin 14 so that we might be able to build a context for the passage we are going to look at. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Everything. Imagine, it says, do everything without grumbling. Everything. And everything means? Everything. Everything means everything. Everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a perverse or a warped and crooked generation. That's what times we are living in. That we are living at times when we are, things are bad. We don't understand mambo mbaya. Things are really bad, yeah? And the world that we are living in today. And this is a world we ask, can we find people who are going to be faithful laborers? Sometimes I look at the generation, the other week we attended a barrio, and as I saw many young people at this barrio, I was asking myself, God, what will it take for us to get through to the heart of these young people? I am at a place in my life where I'm just tired of doing things for the purpose of doing things. I want to do things because they are going to cause significant change for the kingdom of God. And I ask myself, how will we cut through to this generation? What will happen? Who will God use to cut through to this generation? It is a wicked and a perverse generation. And it's talk about being doing everything without grumbling and complaining. Now, Paul will give us an example of a person who can be able to cut through that generation. And in giving us an example of Timothy, who he is commending to the church at to the church that sends Epaphroditus, the church at Philippi, he is telling us the qualities of a person who will be able to reach such a generation, such a generation. And he holds Timothy as an example for us. Timothy is a shining example of what we ought to be like. He is an example of what we should look like for us to be faithful laborers in God's vineyard. One of the things I learned about Timothy here, a little bit about the background of Timothy. We know he came from a background of mixed faith. When Paul came through the town of Lystra, the first missionary journey, the mother gave her life to Christ. She was a Jew. The father is a Gentile, didn't get born again, but the grandmother also got born again, and also Timothy got born again. And so Timothy is coming from a family of what we call single faith parenting. Like, it's only one person who is fostering faith in that particular family. And I know we understand, because some of us may be coming from such a family where it's either a mother who is born again or it's either a father who is born again. For a long time, we have been used to families where the wife is the one who is born again. Until I met a group of people when we were discussing, and we realized there are a number of men who their wives are not born again. And actually, they are fasting, and that's so beautiful. Can you imagine a husband fasting that the wife may be born again? I thought, like, wow, that's interesting. I've never looked at it from that angle. But they are single faith parenting. And so Timothy is brought up in such a family. And today I want to encourage such a family, because look at the outcome. That Timothy comes from such a family. And so you don't have to feel like, because my spouse is not cooperating with me to bring up our children in faith, you don't have to feel like all is lost. God can use you as he used the mother of Timothy and the grandmother of Timothy to raise faith in the life of Timothy. And I want to encourage you today, just believe God, do what needs to be done. Even if the other partner is not cooperating, do your part. And may God raise a Timothy in your family. And they will say, like, even though one party was not born again, God used the other party to be able to raise faith in the life of Timothy. So Timothy now is with Paul at Rome. And Paul is sending Timothy to to the church at Philippi. And he is now commending him. He's saying, these are the reason why you ought to receive Timothy. And he says, why should you receive Timothy? number one, for us to be Christian workers who can be able to cause a difference in the world, Christian workers that are wanted for the kingdom of God, number one, we got to be reliable. We got to be reliable. Look at the first line there that we read. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. In other words, Paul is saying, I am in jail. I cannot be able to come. And I'm just thinking of who I can be able to send, who represent people who are shining as stars, people who can do everything without complaining. And Paul is, in his mind, is has only one person that he can be able to send, and that is Timothy. That is Timothy. He's saying, I'm going to send Timothy. He is reliable. I have worked with him. I know him. He can be sent. You know, sometimes when it comes to giving tasks, even in church, we are really careful about who you ask to do something, because you have to look at whether a person have a servant spirit, or whether they are sendable, whether they can be able to do what they're being asked to do. And for Timothy, I think this is the one person who has surrendered his life to Jesus Christ and has placed himself at disposal of Paul. And he's just waiting to go. And he is just waiting to go. And Paul is saying, I am going to send him. He is sendable. He can go. The Bible asks, who can go on our behalf? And for Paul, it is Timothy who can be able to go. He is the person I can trust with the responsibility. I can be able to trust with the responsibility of coming to you. Of coming to you. And now when I was reading this, I asked myself a couple of questions. Have I placed myself in a place where I can be sent? I can be of benefit to the body of Christ, that I am ready to go. I am just eager to go. And by the way, the distance from Rome to where he's going to go, at the city of to where the Philippians are, it is not a short distance. We are talking about 1,200 kilometers. It is a long journey. And this is a task that Paul is going to give to Timothy. But he knows that I can send Timothy. He is sendable. He is the person who I can be able to entrust with this responsibility. And friends, this morning I want to ask the question to us. Are you at a place where if God is looking for people to send, he is saying, yes, there is my servant Julie. Oh, there is Kim I can be able to send. Oh, there is a person there I can be able to send on this particular errand. Timothy is one person who is reliable. He can be able to accomplish the task that has been given to him. He is reliable. He can be able to accomplish the task that is given to him. Number two, as I look at this text, I also notice, number two, that for us to be the workers that God needs to use, but Timothy is not just reliable, but he is also genuine. Look at even the words in verses 20. I have no one else like him. Paul says, like, as I look at my list, I can imagine so many people who are milling around Paul, and he says, I have no one else like Timothy. He is one of a kind, because times are bad, genuine people are rare. You cannot find people who are trustworthy. And because of we live in a crooked and a perverse generation, and Paul says, I cannot find anybody like him. I have no one else like him. But you know why there's no one like him? Because number two, he's genuine. He is genuine. And the word genuine means he's authentic. It is the one that is used in the marketplace to test pots. Those days, people would mold from clay pots, and they had a way of finding whether a pot is authentic. Now, you know, there are some things that looks more original than original themselves, isn't it? Have you ever gone and bought something and thought, like, I have bought an original, only to be told that it's a fake? Yeah? One day, I decided to start a business of quinoas, and I decided to go to Nairobi. Unfortunately, I landed on River Road. And I want to tell you, I had done my homework. I was told, look for this mark, look for this mark, look for this mark. These are the kind of the original machines that you need to get. And I was so confident that I went by myself and I said, I am going to buy the originals, and today is the day. And so I went. And unknown to me that they had taken the packaging for the originals and placed fakes inside. And so when I was busy reading the cartons and looking for all the marks to make sure that they are originals, I came to Njoro and I just told my people, I have bought original machines. Now you can start working. They looked at me and they told me, Pastor, umefanyo ile kitu. And I was like, how? Now, the way they used to test ports, they would have something metallic, and they would knock at the port, and they would listen. And somebody would say, this is genuine clay. This is not fake. This is genuine. This is genuine. I'm tempted to tell you to knock at your neighbor and just have a feel whether they are, no, don't do that. Whether they are genuine or not genuine. But you get the idea. You get the idea of the pot that is genuine. In other words, Timothy is a real deal. What you see is who he is. He's not one person out there and another person here. He is genuine from inside out. He's genuine from inside out. And I want to tell you, sometimes in these days, people can, put a face. So they say, put the best feet forward, and you can be who you are not. And that's not the kind of person Timothy is. Paul has dealt with Timothy, and he knows that he's genuine. He is genuine, and there's no pretense with Timothy. He is genuine. There's only one thing to. There's only one way to be genuine, and that's what we were reading this week in Life Group, asking God to change you from inside. If you're changed from the outside, you will not be genuine. You will not be genuine. But for Timothy, he is authentic from the inside. He is who he is from the inside. Paul says, I have no one else like him. He is genuine. He is genuine. He is a person who is genuine. The problem of pretending is that you cannot pretend for far too long. Truth will always come out. That people will always find out who you are sometimes. And you can fool some people for some time, as they say, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. Timothy was not fooling anybody. He was the real deal when it comes to ministry. I believe today people are looking for men and women of character. I believe today people are looking for people who are genuine as they relate to them. So Timothy, as you can see here, he's a person who is genuine. He's reliable. He is genuine. But one of the other things I like about Timothy, and I want to spend a little bit more time on this, is that he's a person who is sold out to the ministry. He is sold out to the ministry. Because he's genuine, this is what the Bible says, for everyone looks out for their own interest, not the interest of Jesus Christ. Oh, Paul says, people are so busy, like we are today. I have my goals and strategic plans. I have a family to raise. I have money to make. I have a home to build. I am trying to make ends meet, and I'm always in a hurry. I am sure you are trying to make things work for you. You have that business going on. You have your career going on. And sometimes we don't have even time to think about the things of God. But you see, with Timothy, it's not the same. He says he takes genuine interest in the ministry of the Lord. And sometimes we pretend that we are committed to the kingdom of God. We are committed to the kingdom of God. But Timothy is genuinely interested in the things of God. He's genuinely interested in the things of God. The late Elder Wangoho, who I learned a lot from before he went to be with the Lord, used to tell us how church... people don't like church business, and sometimes you get so involved in church business that even somebody in the church comes and tell you, "Kwani kanisa ni yako? You know, it's church yours. Why are you so much involved with church business?" And he says, nobody takes church business seriously. Nobody takes church business seriously. And it's like everybody just wants to do the small bit and to pretend that they are working, they are busy at work, but yet they know that they are not putting the best effort. Now, that's not Timothy. Timothy is genuinely interested in the work of the ministry. Timothy wants to push the work of the ministry to the extreme that he can. As we come to this campaign, sometimes I'm even shocked that we can even struggle to raise 2 million shillings as a church. And Rob Church can struggle to raise 1,000 shillings. May God bless you, even as you raise the 1,000 shillings. But for some individuals, and for many of us probably, that is not something that is a big goal on a personal level. It's not a big personal goal. It is something that is doable. I mean, we talk about projects, and I'm sure we can be doing, if all the total projects that we are doing at own individual level, we can find a sum, we can just study the amount of what pastor is doing at personal level and what everybody is doing. I want to tell you, you can find yourself with staggering figures, like those figures of being mentioned when the nominees to the cabinet were being mentioned, you know? Like, those are the figures that people are talking about. And yet when we come to church, 2 million is a lot of money for some reason. It's a whole lot of money. And we can find people who take genuine interest, who takes this like my personal project, that this is me. I'm not looking at my neighbor. It is me who is doing this. And he's saying, Timothy is a person who takes genuine interest in the ministry of the Lord. So Ongoho used to tell us that those days, early days, he used to have trucks and they used to load people and Christians. And many a times Christians would line up. I would just wait on the highways and they would be courage to come to Njoro or to go to Bondeni. And even those people who used to run matatu business, when they would come to Christians and the Christians would say they don't have money, they would be told, wait for Wangoho's vehicles. They are the ones that use water instead of diesel. You know, you wait for Wangoho's vehicle. And the Mzee would tell us, God is no man debtor, that he doesn't regret that he served God with such personal zeal. And I want to tell you that we need to have a heart like Timothy, a heart like Timothy, that he was genuinely interested, sold out to the ministry. Lastly, Timothy was proven. Timothy was proven. He was no novice. He was not a newcomer in ministry. Paul had given a list in the book of Timothy of how we are to choose elders. And he says he should not be a new convert, lest he becomes conceited and fall to the same trap as the evil one. And here we see what Paul is talking about. He says, Timothy has proven himself. Verse 22, but you know that Timothy has proven himself. We encourage people to come to ministry even when they are newcomers. But be patient and build on your experience in ministry. Be proven. Paul is saying, like, this is not a guy who ran away. Paul had an experience of John Mark, and at one point with John Mark ran away. John Mark was just young, and when they were just going on the ministry journey, it became so confrontational that he ran away. And I am sure some of you who are young in ministry, when push comes to shove, you may be tempted to run away. But let me tell you, it is not so with Timothy. Paul knew Timothy, that Timothy had endured hardship like a soldier, and Timothy was there to stay and was there to fight. One of the things today that is needed in ministry is people who are willing to be there for a long time, and people who want to fight for the long haul, people who want to put in the time and the discipline it requires. Because you cannot build ministry in a day. You cannot build ministry overnight. You want people who are going to have resilience. People who are proven. People who are proven. It's a good question to ask yourself this day. If things will become tough in ministry, what do you do? Will you stay on? Will you be there? Will you be like Timothy, a person who is proven in the ministry? A person who is proven in the ministry? And that's what Paul is talking about, a person who is proven in the ministry. And Paul is telling the church, please receive Timothy. As you receive Timothy, he's a real deal. He's the one person I can comfortably send. I wish I was able to come, and I am even convinced that I'll be able to come later. Even though I am in prison and I'm waiting for Caesar to make a decision on my case, I do not know whether I'll be able to come later. But before I do that, I have a person that I can be able to send. He is one of the few. He's one of the few. God is not looking for numbers. God is looking for individuals. A few people who are reliable. Few people who are genuine. Few people who are sold out to the ministry. Few people who are proven to work for the kingdom of God. It's not about the masses. It's about you as an individual. And I pray you as an individual that God will find you and say, yes, there is a Timothy here. There is a Timothy here who I can send even to a world that is lost and in need. Because the world today is lost and in need. And God is looking to raise many, many workers for the kingdom of God. And Paul himself says, I know I know though I'm in prison, there's something that tells me I myself, I will receive report from Timothy when he comes, when he goes on this long journey that will take 6 weeks and be with you for that long time and then come back after 6 weeks after he accomplished this and he brings me the report. I know there's something that in me that tells me there's some work that remains to be done and there is still some fire in my bone and I myself will come and accomplish the work. Don't I love the passion that I see in Paul, that even when he's in jail, he's just saying, I know that there's something that I have to come and do. There are more churches to plant. There are more elders to raise. There are more people to affirm and to edify. There are probably more letters to write, more churches to plant out there. People who are completely sold out to the ministry of the Lord. Timothy is such one person. As I look at this letter, for a guy who had been with Paul for 10 years, I just pray that God may find in me and may find in you a person that he can send. Today's Christianity mostly is about what we will get from the Lord. I want healing, I want blessing, and I want favor. I want forgiveness from the Lord and not what I can be able to do. God is looking for people who are going... people who are going to work and people he's going to send. Would you for a minute forget about your needs? Would you forget for a minute about your desire for what you'd want God to do for you? Would you for a minute forget what you'd want God to do for you and say, yes, Lord, I want to be that person that you want to send. And I don't know where God wants to send you. Maybe for some of you, it's your family that God wants to send you. Maybe it's your workplaces. Maybe it's the marketplace where you are. Maybe for some of you, it's even ministry that God wants to send you for ministry. And you should be saying, yes, I am here. I am a Timothy. God, use me. Use me for your glory and for your honor. In this wicked and perverse generation, who will go on our behalf? Who can we send out there? God is recruiting. May he find in you one or two or three people who are saying, yes, I am here. Lord, use me for whatever you want to use me. May you use me for your glory. May you use me for your kingdom. May I live for you. Paul is sent by Timothy. Much later, Paul is taken to work in the church at Ephesus by Paul. And that's where actually he's going to spend the last time before Paul dies, raising a church at Ephesus. And Paul would tell him, my work is done. Carry on this work. Carry on this work. I see so many young people here today. And I pray that even the young people that are here today, that you may search your soul and ask God, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? It's just not enough to come every Sunday and sit, but it's enough to hear the Lord says, here, this is my assignment for you. Are you reliable? Are you one person that God says, I have no one else like him? When I looked at the whole group, when I looked at the whole lot, I saw this one person. Can God say that about you? Are you genuine? Are you genuine? Nothing to hide. Are you laying your life bare before the Lord? Are you one person who is completely sold out to the ministry? Or do you only care about me, myself, and I? Do you only about yourself? Or are you one person who is willing to go and serve and be spent out there for the kingdom of God and use your life for the expansion of the kingdom of God? Are you one person who will say, yes, Lord, I am here. I am here. Use me. Let us pray this morning. And even as we bow to pray, I don't know what's your response to the word this morning. We have an example of Timothy, a person who is genuine and authentic, who is being used for the kingdom of God. And God is looking for workers, and I don't know whether God is finding you. I want you to spend a few minutes to respond to God. I want you to spend a few minutes to respond to God this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the example that you lay and commend for us this morning, the example of Timothy. He was a young man, like many young people here. He is a person we can relate to. He was no Paul, or he was no Jesus Christ, or one of the apostles. And yet this young man, Lord, became reliable for your work. I am praying the Lord you may raise people who are reliable to work for you. People you can send on errand and you can trust that they're going to accomplish the task. I pray that you may build that capacity of being reliable in our lives for your kingdom. People that you can entrust with responsibility. And Lord, if in any way we fall short, how we pray that your spirit will work in our lives to transform us from inside out. That we may be people who are reliable for your kingdom. We also want to pray, dear Lord, that we may be genuine, that you may give us a character, that we may have the character it takes to do ministry. We pray this morning that we may be sold out to your ministry. We may be completely, completely sold out to your ministry. I pray that we may be preoccupied. Many a times, Lord, we can even go to sleep and we are just dreaming about our personal goals and the ambitions that we have. And sometimes we even don't have time to think about the ambitions for your kingdom. I pray the Lord you may even cause that our sleep pattern may be disturbed, even as we think about your kingdom and the expansion of your kingdom. Lord, that we may not just rest easy when things are not right with your church. Pray, Lord, that you may take away that spirit of being so self-centered and being selfish, always about ourselves. But Lord, we may be used and be spent for your kingdom. Lord, I want to pray that you may be with us even as we think about your kingdom, that we may be hardworking and put in the hours that are needed to do your work. So bless us, Lord, and particularly bless all of us. And particularly if you are calling somebody to do something specific this morning, I pray that your anointing and your power will be their portion. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Could be here.